We greet you today in the name of the Lord, our sovereign Lord, who is Lord over all. It is a sad day for us as a congregation. For those of you who don't know, Pastor Dane's wife, Kathy, passed away this morning. Dane saw her alive at 1 this morning, and that was the last time. And we grieve her loss today. It grieves our heart. So if when you came in today you didn't already know this, that is the reason for the somber spirit that is here. But we're not hopeless people. Kathy, she'd been 53 in June, and she and Dane have been with us since a few months after Audrey and I moved here to plant this church. I remember the first day that they showed up we had started having our public worship services out at the one of the student buildings, the BSU building at Armstrong. And I remember the day when they walked in. I'll never forget that day. And they have been with us ever since. Dane, a few years later, joined staff, and so we've been together. Several things I would encourage you to do. Number one, Dane has not turned off his phone. So if you want to contact him, text him. If you feel led to call him, you need to call him, we'll call him too. I mean, he can always, I know he's got a lot of things he's doing, but he'd like to hear from you. So text him. That would be a good thing. Let him know that you're praying for him. But I want to encourage you today, and I want to read this passage of scriptures as we begin as a family today. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, "And we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan," talking about this body, "longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed, while we're in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us his Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be," what? "Absent from the body and present with the Lord." Our sister, early this morning, sometime, left this life, the tent she was living in, and went to live with her Lord in the city he has prepared. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. We thank God for Kathy, and we pray now for Dane, Pastor Dane, for their son Cameron, for Pat and Joe, Dane's parents, and of course for Kathy's mom and her brother in Kentucky. We'll be letting you know about details of everything. But today, we want to intercede for the family. So let us pray together. Lord, it is very appropriate that we would be here together on this day, that you would allow us to be gathered so we can experience your presence and your power together as a family, the family of God that we are. Lord, I thank you for Kathy's life, for all the reminders, even in this building, all the physical things that she did. We bless you for her life. She has no, that we have no pictures that don't have her face in them. We have no memories that don't, they're not woven in and through her life. And Lord, today, we thank you for her, and we pray for Pastor Dane. I ask you, God, the God of great comfort, that you'll come and you'll minister to him who's lost his life mate. I pray, God, lift him up. May he feel your presence and your power. Lord, I pray your encouragement for Cameron, for Pat and Joe. Lord, may they all feel and know that you are with them. Lord, the name we're using today is Emmanuel. You're God with us, and I thank you. And Lord, we know you waste nothing. You waste nothing on this earth. And so, Lord, in the midst of our pain and our grief, we cry out to you and we say, come, Lord Jesus, come in power. Come in power in our lives, and let even her death be a cause for the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus. Lord, that the word of God will go out, that people will see even how we grieve as a body is different. We're different than the world. We're sad, but we're not sad for Kathy. Lord, she is with you right now. And we bless your name. Come, Lord Jesus, come now in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our grief, as we worship you, the one who holds us in his hand forever. Amen. Let's worship together.
It's from 1 Thessalonians 5. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
Who are you? love that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, you. I worship you. for that is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are, my God. That is who you are. 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 Waymaker, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. One more time. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
This is an incredibly hard day. Let's start out this way. If Kathy touched you, or your kids, would you stand? Mine too. Father, we bless your name. You are a good God. And Lord, what we have to declare is the eternal life. And you have said that that is to know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And Lord, we are resting in that promise. And Lord, we're trusting you to be with us as we get through the rest of this day. Let us hear, because this is where you've called us to today at this time. Thank you for your presence with us here today. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. There's going to be testimonies that go out over time. Okay? This is not a one-time thing. Because the truth is, she's been investing. It's like God's been investing in us. She invested in our lives, and that's not going to stop. It doesn't quit here. This morning, I'm going to continue what we've been talking about for the last few weeks, and that has to do with as we go, that we're supposed to be walking in the Spirit. And so today I want to talk about living freedom. We've been having this dialogue about living and walking in the Spirit. Dane's done a great job setting us up with that. Today I'm going to sort of take a step backwards, in a sense, in the context here a little bit. And I want to explore a little bit about this idea of freedom. To kind of begin this context, I want to first look at another passage beyond the one that we've been focusing on in Galatians. And that passage that I want to look at is from John chapter 3. Now, everybody in here knows that if you go to a football game, there's a guy behind the goalpost that has the sign that says what? John 3:16. The dude used to have the big funky hair. Okay. Now he's got minions that do it still. They try to stop it, but they still do it. This statement that Jesus made is in the middle of this conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus. Nicodemus was trying to figure this out, because he knew something was bigger and stronger and more truthful than what he understood. So he came to Jesus to find out what the answer was. It's sort of a nighttime interview under cloak of silence, you know, cloak of night, okay? And before Jesus gets to that passage that we all know and we've all memorized, okay, he says this to Nicodemus. He says, the wind blows wherever it wants. Nicodemus knew what the wind was like. Just as you can hear the wind, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. God's Spirit can't be controlled. It can't be directed. It's free. It's powerful, and it gives life. That's what we're proclaiming today. We're proclaiming that our sister is with the Father, that she was living in eternal life here, and that she has graduated, and now she is living an eternal life that will not end. This is hope. This is what we live for. This is what we preach. There is no such thing as preaching we can be better people. We can be good citizens. That's a bunch of hooey. What we can be is under Christ's righteousness, because he died for us on the cross and took his life back up to show us that we too could have that eternal life. You can't capture wind in a box. You ever tried that? It don't work. However, truth is, we can yield ourselves to the wind and experience its power. Have you ever done that? We can submit to the wind, and we can move quickly in the direction that it takes us. Whenever you were a kid, did you ever have a kite? Okay, you get that thing up there, okay? And the reason why it's up there is because of the wind. You ever watch that thing dive and swoop? Okay. And you never knew when that was going to happen. You know why? Because you can't control the wind. Absolutely. It's what the wind does. We yield ourselves to the power of the Holy Spirit. We submit ourselves to its direction, and we find that we are free. It doesn't mean that there aren't going to be times where things don't look kind of scary. Whenever you've watched that kite dive and rise, it's kind of scary. Have you ever thought, it's going to crash, it's going to crash, it's going to crash, it's going to crash. Then all of a sudden, it catches and it goes right back up again. Okay? So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Walking by the Spirit is not about following a map or accomplishing tasks. It's about yielding to the wind. So let's look at a passage now, the one we've been working on, in Galatians, and sort of see how this applies to the theme passage that we've been talking about. So I'm going to read it, and then we're going to come back to it piece by piece here and there. Okay? So in Paul's letter to the Galatians, he said, "So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you are counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. I'll say it again. If you're trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses. For if you were trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You've fallen away from God's grace. But we who live by the Spirit eagerly await to receive by faith the righteousness that God has promised to us. For when we placed our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What's important is faith expressing itself in love. You were running a race so well. Who's held you back from following the truth? It certainly isn't God, for he's the one who called you to freedom. This false teaching is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough. I'm trusting the Lord to keep you from believing false teachings. God will judge that person, whoever he is, who's been confusing you. Dear brothers, if I were still preaching that you must be circumcised, as some say that I do, why am I still being persecuted? If I were no longer preaching salvation through the cross of Christ, no one would be offended. I just wish that those troublemakers who want to mutilate you by circumcision would mutilate themselves. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. Don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, and you're familiar with it. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another." So I want to look at this piece by piece, and make some observations and see what it teaches us about walking by the Spirit and living in freedom. To start out with, we look at Galatians 5, 4, that one passage. It said, "For if you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you've been cut off from Christ. You've fallen away from grace." The Galatians were being tempted to adopt Jewish ceremonial rules and regulations as a means by which to say that they had in some way attained righteousness. That was why Paul was writing this to them. He was saying, you guys have been told, if you want to be a real follower of Jesus, you got to do this. You got to line up with these rules. You got to live this way. You got to follow this. He had to tell them that was not the truth. The source of their righteousness was the issue. Were they righteous before God because of something they did, which would be legalism, or was their righteousness based in the fact that Jesus had done something for them through faith? Paul was trying to say that legalism was associated with slavery, but faith was associated with freedom. How do you know that? How do you know that's what he was trying to say? Well, let's take a step back. Let's look at the chapter that comes before. Here, Paul talks about the contrast between two people that we kind of consider characters in the story, but these were real people. There was a guy named Ishmael, and there was a guy named Isaac. Both of them had the same father, but they had different mothers for a reason. So what he said there was, "And you, dear brothers and sisters, are children of promise just like Isaac. But you are now being persecuted by those who want you to keep the law, just as Ishmael, the child born by human effort, persecuted Isaac, the child born by the power of the Spirit." Ishmael was a child who was born by a good idea. God had promised they would have children, but Abram and Sarah and Hagar kind of got in there and said, "Well, we'll just see what we can do to make this hurry up a little bit." And in that one decision, there is still chaos today because they tried to do something instead of trusting God's timing. They tried to make it happen. And folks, that's what legalism's all about, trying to make God jump through our hoops. And it doesn't work. Isaac, on the other hand, was born from promise. He was the son of Sarah and Abram, and his name is Laughter because when his mom heard that she was going to have a baby, all she could do was laugh because she was pretty old. And she had been barren for a long time and ridiculed. Her son Isaac was the one that was always meant to be the one to inherit the promise because God had said, "Abram, your kids, your descendants are going to be so many, it's going to be like going to the beach and trying to count the grains of sand. Or it's going to be like going out on a beautiful sunny, beautiful clear summer night and looking up at all those stars. That's how many kids you're going to have." That promise came through Isaac because he was the child of promise. He was the one that they waited on and obeyed. But on the other hand, you've got the problem with Hagar, who was a maidservant that Sarah convinced her husband to have a child with. That didn't go well. She was a slave, and Ishmael had the mindset of a slave. What do we learn from this? We go to the next step. Verses 5 and 6. Here it says, "We, you and I, who live by the Spirit, eagerly await to receive by faith the righteousness that God has promised to us." See, waiting, bless you, waiting is a part of that. Okay, Abram and Sarah, when they didn't wait, didn't end up well. When they waited and they trusted, it ended up well. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. For the Galatians, the people that Paul was addressing, all this was very important for them to remember. Legalism for them was equated with that temptation to adhere to all those religious practices that the Jews carried out. And essentially what they were saying was, to be a good Jew, to be a good Christian, you got to do the same things. Paul said, nope, it's not true. For us, legalism is a little different. For you and me, it's not a matter of adhering to Jewish customs. For you and me, being legalistic many times ends up being something like, well, do you subscribe to my standards and meet up to my standards? Whatever those might be. It may be my perfect theology. It may be my perfect life. It may be the way I dress, the way I worship. It may be the way I pray. And if you don't pray like me, you don't worship like me, you don't dress like me, you don't have a theology like me, then I'm better than you. That's legalism. If you don't know the secret handshake and how to pray, you're not in. Righteousness, though, Paul says, comes by faith, not effort, not human effort. Human effort, in all that it ensues there, at attaining righteousness, always leads to contention and to disagreements. It started with Ishmael and it's never stopped, because those things are rooted and expressed in control and manipulation. Legalism is about making somebody else do something and you control them. That is not freedom. The Spirit of God is about freedom, not manipulation, not about control. That's why Paul states, if you look later on, we got to the end of the passage in verse 14, he said something like, but if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out, beware of destroying one another. Because that's what happens when we're about manipulation and control, when we're about legalism, when we try to hold other people up to our standards. Unfortunately, they're human standards often, and they're not God's standards. This is the stuff of legalism. But faith, on the other hand, is expressed in things like servanthood, freedom, and blessing. What was the reason that God told Abram that he was going to have all these descendants? You remember what the bottom line was? And you will be a what? You will be a blessing to the rest of the world. That is what faith is all about. It's about not legalism. It's about freedom. It's about being a blessing. It's about serving other people. There's no law against that kind of stuff. We can do good all day long. We can be good people all day long, and there's no law against it. What are the contrasts between legalism and freedom? Legalism and faith. Let's talk about a couple. Okay. Yeah, I forgot to tell John to animate these one by one, so we're just going to have to hang with it. Try not to let any of this distract you, okay? First of all, legalism replaces God's wisdom with man's arrogance. Okay? You find a legalistic person, someone who says it's my way or highway, or it's you do it the way I do it. If you don't know the handshake, you don't pray the right way, you don't do this so many times a day, you don't do this, you don't do it like I do, then what happens is man's arrogance begins to take the place of God's wisdom. That doesn't end well. Also, it replaces God with the idol of religion. You know, if I just prayed so much, then God would have to do this. Or, look, we love our brothers and sisters, and there are people who have other convictions than me, so hang in there. But if you tithe, it does not require God to then give you back so much money. That's not scriptural. We give because God has first given to us, and we give off the front and off the top because He was generous enough to let us have the job we have, the health we have, and the work that we have to be able to earn money. And he deserves the first part of that, reminding us that we know God did it. That's what that's all about. It's not about some preacher who wants you to give money because, okay? It replaces God with the idol of religion. Religion wants to control. God wants a relationship. Religion is do this, do that, do this, do that. And guess what? You can make God do what you want him to do. Because that's what ritual is all about. It's about manipulating God, placating God, a God, to give you what you want. Who's on the throne in that scenario? Me. I get to decide what's right and what's good. If I pray so much, or I give so much, or I do the right things, then I obligate what I'm calling God to do my bidding. And if he doesn't work anymore. How many people do you know who have fallen into that ditch? They get mad at God because they think they did all the right things and God didn't do what they wanted him to do because they knew better. The problem is we end up in that arrogance ditch and we end up in that idol ditch. We make God into our lackey. And that's not right. He's God. That's a really hard pill to swallow whenever we have to do what we're doing today. When we have to face loss, we have to face grief. We don't like it. But the truth is, stats prove, guess what? One out of one dies. It's just a matter of how many days God gives to us. Let's make the most of every day we've got. Religion stifles development. Religion says, you do what I want you to do. And if you don't, we'll move you outside. We'll make you a pariah. We'll make you the one that we cast out. Instead, we have this spirit which nurtures and grows. In fact, the funny thing is, if we will love people, we end up accepting them and we're not trying to limit them or stifle their development or their creativity. All that talk in the New Testament about we're all different body parts, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? We're one body, a lot of different body parts, because we're all different. We all are creative in different ways. We all have different abilities. The Spirit empowers us in that way. It's to nurture and grow. If you then go look at Ephesians chapter 4, that's the whole reason we have this body, is to nurture and develop and grow and mature each one another. So we'll grow up into this image of Jesus that we don't on our own. Religion controls and the Spirit empowers. Hang in there. I'm going back to my old days for a second. Can you? I'm not going to give you any names and I'm not going to tell you where. Okay? But religion was about meetings, and those meetings is where you made decisions. And thems that showed up to the meetings got to make the decisions. Whether those folks were infants in the faith, or they actually had made other believers and developed them the way that most grown-ups make babies. You get the idea? Religion wants to control. It says, are you qualified to make such a decision? I've been here for 30 years, and you don't. Have you heard this before? Have you seen it before? I've seen it on TV. The world knows about all this stuff. They stereotype it really well, because they got us. Religion wants to control. The Spirit, on the other hand, empowers. The Spirit says, what is God doing in you? Is there something that He wants to release you to do? Can we help you find somebody who can come along beside you and you can then go do this thing that God's leading you to do? We won't be those kind of people. That's freedom. That's the Holy Spirit. It's not about all the rules. It's not about doing it the right way. It's not about having the right theology. It really isn't. So let's go to the next slide. That's the contrast between freedom and legalism. And we come to the end here. Galatians 5:13-14, he says, "For you have been called to live in freedom. My brothers and sisters, don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up, love your neighbor as yourself." Hear me clearly. I'm going to be careful here. I'm going to make somebody mad. Living right according to God's word has awesome benefits. That's why God on Mount Sinai delivered the Ten Commandments to Moses. People needed to know how to live their best life. They didn't know. However, salvation was not one of those benefits. Law doesn't bring rightness with God. Salvation and righteousness before God is purely a product of faith in Jesus Christ. It's what Jesus said in John chapter 14, very clearly. It's about knowing Him because He is the way the Father has made to be in right relationship with God. Only through Him do we get righteousness credited to our account. So we live by the Spirit when we define ourselves not by accomplishing things or following rules, but we define ourselves by the fruit of the Spirit that comes out of us when we get squeezed. Are you getting squeezed today? What's coming out of you when you get squeezed? Is it freedom or is it legalism? Back whenever Regina and I lived in North Georgia, in the granite capital of the world, I pastored a little church 6 miles out from the granite capital of the world. There was about a quarter mile between my house, the pastorium, and the church building. There was a bank of trees in between, but you'd walk down the road. Well, it just so happened that on the Sunday that I was supposed to be ordained, that we had the snowstorm in 1993. Some of y'all remember that. 6 or 7 inches of snow on the ground. We decided we're going to walk from our house to the church building. Not that far, right? We're going to take the dog out and let the dog play in the snow. So we walk, and it's cold, and it's windy, and it's snowing. We walk to the church building, and yeah, this is, isn't this fun, isn't this great? You know, dogs out there playing around, it's cool, and everything, you know. But when we decided to come home, everything was different. Because now we were walking against the wind. And the wind was blowing in our eyes. And the snow was hitting our faces. And we were looking at each other like, this was really a great idea, wasn't it? This was crazy. Why would we do? And honestly, every time Regina and I get into some weather situation now, we refer back to this time, how stupid that was. It's a whole lot better living life with the wind at your back. Living in accordance with the freedom that the Holy Spirit offers to us. Because there's a lot of power. There's a lot of direction. There's a lot of purpose in that wind. And if you're like me, anytime you start walking up against that wind, you start shaking your head and going, what was I thinking? But that's what legalism does. It's walking against that wind. It's fighting it. It's having all that coming at you. And that's not what we were created to do. We were created to live by the Spirit, under the Spirit's power, doing God-sized things as we go into the world as the hands and feet of Jesus. That's what we're made for. Yeah, sometimes it seems like the wind takes us a little far up, and sometimes it seems like the wind takes us a little farther down than we are comfortable with. But it's a whole lot better to be free. Do you feel free? Let's pray. Father, you say it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Lord, I pray that we would live in that promise today. Lord, on a day when we're not sure exactly how to feel, Lord, we know everything about our existence is going to change because of the life of Kathy Moore. And we know that she is not here, present with us now, anymore. And the blessings that we got from knowing Kathy and from her pouring her life into ours and to the lives of people that we love and care for, it's going to change. But Lord, we also know that promise. That promise that said, knowing you is eternal life. The one true God and Jesus Christ that you've sent. Lord, let us walk in power. Let us live in power. Let us have a hope that governs who we are and what we do. So that, Lord, we would not be as people in the world who have no hope. Lord, let us live lives that are powerful and yielded to your Spirit. You've got cards if you got one when you came in. If you don't, they're on that back table. And if there's something that you would like for us to be praying with you about, would you put it on that card and let us know? Because we do pray with you each and every week. If there's something you need to talk about, that God's speaking to you about, you can tell us about that too, and we'll be happy to get with you and pray with you about that too. Today's a great day. Because it's a day that God has given to us as a present. His gift to you and me to live by the power of His Spirit. I'm just going to pray and we're going to close because honestly, I don't know what else to do. Father God, speak to us. Don't leave us alone. Lord, show us the lessons we're supposed to learn today. Speak to us about how we live, about what we depend on. Lord, help us to give freedom to other people. Help us, Lord, to let you lead us and direct us, even in the middle of grief, because we'll find you faithful. You've always been faithful. Thank you for our time together, Lord, to be family. Send us out, Lord, with the message of hope. And we will declare that you are Lord. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.